My friends, you're in for a treat this morning. You're going to get to hear my pastor, who I've known for over a decade now, preach to you. And typically when you do these things, it's, you know, I could tell you about his education, which he has everything up to the doctorate level. I could tell you about the fact that he's been at the church that he's pastoring at now for 25 years. But more than that, I'd rather just tell you that he's one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. He has taught me more than what any textbook could. He's taught me about being humble, about pastoral care, about just being myself, and understanding the fact that it's not about me. It's about God and His glory. And anything that I do at this church, as I've told you many times already, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about the unity that we have in Christ. And you're going to get to see today someone preach to you, and you're going to come to understand that everything that I have said to you, everything that I've become as your pastor, it's all started when I was just sitting in the office and talking to Pastor Jay Wagner. So if you'll come this morning and preach for us, brother, and preach whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, every bit of it to the fullest of your ability, as I know you will. And I just thank you so much for who you are and everything you've done for me.
My, what a joy it is to be here this morning. I can't convey to you what a joy it is and how I feel at this moment. Andy commented a little earlier this morning as we were sitting in his office how he felt strange sitting behind the desk this time, and I was sitting in the guest seat. But that's a good feeling for me to be where I was this morning, and it's a real blessing to be able to be here. I've heard much about the church and you folks, and to be here and to meet you and to see your beautiful facilities and to just experience what little I had already, just talking to a few individuals, how much you love the Lord. I feel like that Andy's in a good place. He's got a lot of folks that's going to stand behind him, and I rejoice in that. I preached on this particular topic at Andy's ordination, the charge to the candidate. And so when Andy asked me to come, I said, any particular thing you want me to preach about, or what topic or whatever? And he said, however the Lord leads you. He said, maybe something like you preached at my ordination. And I didn't say it to him at the time, and I sort of smiled when I hung up the phone, because I didn't even have an outline that day. I didn't, when you're in an ordination service, you got about 10 minutes. So you just let it fly, you know what I'm saying? So I had to sit down and put a little bit of an outline to thy thoughts. And I think it is a good one. And here is why. To install someone or something, whether it be the installation of a piece of machinery or the installation of a person into an office, it's all about recognizing their function and their purpose and what they are there to do, what they are there to accomplish. And you have already called Andy to be your pastor, and what a nice gesture, a wonderful thing to do, to have an installation service such as this. But we're here to talk mainly about what it is he's supposed to do, a charge to him. So I'm preaching to Andy this morning, but at the same time, being a preacher, I cannot pass up the fact that there's another 100 people or so here. And if I didn't preach something that was important to you, I would fail. So this is for you as well. I've entitled the message, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Preaching. I'm not talking about good preaching. I'm not talking about bad preaching, and I'm certainly not talking about ugly preaching. But I am talking about the things that surround the preacher's task, the things that must be done, the things that must be endured. There's lots of good things. There is no blessing like doing what God's called you to do. There's also some tough times that are going to come. And hopefully, not too many ugly situations. That's why I drew a line through that. I'm reminded many years ago, there was a man that was called upon by Henry Ford to come to his factory He was an expert in machinery and electrical circuits and all that. And Ford was having a particular problem with a machine on the assembly line that had broken down. They couldn't figure out how to fix it. And so he called in this expert, and he came in, and he looked things over, heard what was wrong, walked over to one particular machine at one particular point, pulled out a little ball-peen hammer, and whacked it. The machine jumped to life just like that. Ford was ecstatic. Couldn't believe his good fortune until he got the bill. Repair of machinery, $10,000. Now, that was a huge amount of money in those days. But Ford protested. He said, "You were only here a few minutes. You only pulled out one piece of one tool, and you made one peck, and you're going to charge me $10,000? To which the man sent him a second bill. On this bill, he had itemized his invoice. Line one said, pecking on the machine, $1. Line two said, knowing where to peck, $9,999. So, Andy, we're here this morning to talk about where you need to peck. But more importantly, we're here to understand as a congregation, as a church, what God has ordained that he should do and the part that all of us play in that. So I want to begin by talking about the overall scope of what I want to say in the next few minutes. We're talking about the preacher's calling and the fact that it is a serious responsibility, but also a difficult responsibility. Now, there are many blessings that go with it that will overcome all those bad parts, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. God's calling to be a preacher means you enter into a very serious and a very solemn responsibility, and one that can be difficult many, many times in life. So let's talk about that fact. Looking at our text, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And we want to ask ourselves as we look at these five verses this morning, why is it that a pastor's calling is so serious, so important, and yet a struggle at times as well? Why is that? There's two reasons, and the first one is simply this. Reason number one, the task is a great one. It's difficult because it's a great task. There is more to being a pastor and doing it well than any man, humanly speaking, can ever, ever attain to. And every pastor has to understand and learn from the start that it's not, as Andy said, about him. Believe you me, I preached in many sermons over the years and I thought, man, did I nail it today. I really preached a good one today. I walk out the front door, people come out and file by and shake my hand and say, enjoyed it, Pastor. Enjoyed it, Pastor. I think, what did they miss? And then there's those days when you just get done preaching and you're just deflated. You think, I didn't say anything the way I wanted to. It didn't come out the way I wanted. It was a total failure. I totally failed the congregation. I failed the Lord, everything. It was a disaster this morning. And I walk out the front door, and here comes someone in the congregation and say, Pastor, that was wonderful. That was just what I needed to hear. That's when you realize you're just an instrument. God is in control. And his empowerment and his work through the Spirit of God is what really, really matters. The task is difficult. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Well, the first reason why the task is so great is because preachers are under orders. They face strict accountability. There's going to come a day when Andy's going to be judged for the job he did as pastor of Calvary Baptist. I have a former associate who went to Mount Calvary Baptist. I'm going to get those mixed up, I'm afraid. No, his salvation will never come into question. But as far as rewards for eternity, the judgment seat of Christ, yes, he'll be judged. He'll be judged strictly. In fact, James chapter 3, verse 1 says, don't let many be teachers of the word, because they're going to endure a stricter judgment. The next reason why the task is great is this. The primary duty of preaching is to preach God's word, and that is a huge responsibility. Notice what he says here. He says, preach the word. Don't preach about the word. Don't preach your ideas. Don't preach what's popular, but preach what it is the word says. And the word is vast. I've been preaching as a pastor for 37 years. I haven't covered it all yet. I don't know how anyone can. Now, I pretty much covered it all, but there's nooks and crannies here and there I haven't gotten to yet, and I keep thinking, I need to preach this, and I need to preach that. It's a huge task. We need to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And I'm not talking about skipping pebbles across the surface and say, well, I preach through the Bible. No, I'm talking about plumbing the depths of God's Word, which touches the hearts of men minutely, specifically, and powerfully. The Word of God here refers to the content of the Word. The power is not in the preacher. The power is in the word the preacher preaches. That's why he has to preach the word. There are specific functions that a preacher will fulfill or accomplish as he preaches the word. We see them right here in the text. He says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. He says, convince, rebuke, and exhort. Convince. That word is the word reprove, I think, in the King James translation. This is the New King James I'm using. It means simply to correct. So you're going to be correcting behavior when you preach. Then it talks about rebuke. And rebuke means bringing people to a sense of their sinfulness and bringing them to a point of repentance. And then exhortation is the positive aspect of preaching, where you build people up. I think preachers have been probably out of balance in preaching too much to correct and rebuke and not nearly enough to exhort. And the average person, yeah, we as Christians, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. He convicts us pretty much. If we're in the Word and we're in church, he deals with us. And when the preacher deals with the Word, that's going to happen. So we as preachers need to realize people need at least as much building up and encouragement. We're to preach the Word in season and out of season, it says. That means, Andy, when times are going well, when everybody seems to be happy and there's unity in the church, folks are being baptized, choir singing beautifully, the people are happy, that's in season. That's a privilege, that's a joy to preach the word in season. There's nothing like it, but there are going to come times when it's not in season. There's going to come times when somebody takes offense to something you say. Now, I've had people take offense to what I've said many, many times, and a few times I was wrong, because we're human beings, and sometimes we can go a little too far and get a little too opinionated and not enough controlled by theology. But you know, there's been a lot more times when people have gotten mad at me because of what that word says. And the only thing I'm doing is telling them what it says. I've had people sit in the congregation with their head down like this. They would sit there with their head up as long as we were singing. The preacher gets up to preach, they put their head down like this. Never look at me. I've had people walk out the back door in the middle of my sermon, stomp out the door, slam the door. Hadn't happened very often, but it does happen. There will come a day, there will come a time when the preaching of God's word will be out of season. About every Monday morning, God's word and the preaching of God's word can become out of season, brother. I've talked to Andy about carrying around that resignation in your hip pocket. I've never done that, but in my mind, I've done that. In my mind on Mondays, boy, there's something about all that energy you expend on Sunday preaching the Word of God that can leave you down on Monday. And it only takes a word or two from somebody, a little negative, a little criticism, and the devil can get on you like you wouldn't believe. When it's out of season, here's what you do. Preach the Word. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't try to correct everything. Don't try to fix everything. Just preach the Word. The Word of God will take care of it all in time. Preach the Word. Preach the Word, he says. Be ready in season and out of season. That word ready, it's the word to be instant in the King James. The New King James says be ready. That means you have got to be prepared. Andy spent many years, I know, because I have seen him for years preparing for this ministry right here. He didn't know where it was going to be. He didn't know where God was going to send him. But I saw the years and the perseverance that he and Gina put into being here today. That's preparation. And God takes people that have prepared themselves and have studied and have dedicated themselves to preaching the Word of God to use them. Every Sunday, what you hear for 30 minutes took many hours of study, sometimes agonizing study to prepare. It looks so easy. People think, well, you know, you just get up. I don't know how many times over the years people said, well, you have it easy. You only work 1 hour a week. That's when you just feel like picking them up and just slapping them beside the face and say, would you just want to follow me around for just a little while? Be ready. Be prepared. Years ago in my first church, it was a little country church, and there was a man on the radio that didn't understand theology very well, and he preached salvation by doing good works instead of faith, and it was a mess. And he used to get on there and berate me, not by name, but me and other preachers in the area that preached the truth. And he despised anybody that ever had any education. And he referred to us as you know, educated preachers have not been called. In fact, he had a favorite saying that stuck in my mind. You know, when people talking about you, it sticks in your mind, doesn't it? He had this saying, he'd say on the radio, he'd say, some are called and some are sent and some just picked up their Bible and went. I can guarantee you, Andy did not just pick up his Bible and went. He's prepared himself. No preacher can enter into the ministry unprepared. God prepares the person through all the trials and problems and difficulties and the growing process. They prepare themselves in the Word, in their study, and so on. Preaching requires great patience as well. Notice he says that we're to be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Now, the long-suffering and teaching go together. You've got to be long-suffering to teach people for many years. Especially when you're preaching the same thing 10 years down the road that you preached 10 years ago and they still haven't got it. You've got to be patient. You've got to be long-suffering. As one of my professors in seminary said, that word means long-suffering. That's what it's talking about. Enduring for a period of time. Preachers have to be patient. People do not grow in the Lord like that. It's not that the preacher gets up and preaches a sermon, and bam, this section over here took three leaps in spiritual growth, and now they're, you know, ready for the next step. No, it doesn't work that way. It's over a period of months and years the preaching of the Word is absorbed and it is heard and it is heard again and it is applied and it is misapplied and it's applied again and God works in their hearts and souls, and over a long period of time we gradually grow spiritually more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But it's because of the preaching of the Word. So Andy, preach the Word. Be ready. Be always ready in season, out of season, whether you feel like it or not. Even when the pastor's sick on Sunday morning, somebody's got to preach the sermon. Been there, done that a few times. And then have people say, you didn't look too well this morning. I didn't, but you've got to be there. What you do is important. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, always teaching truth. Boy, there's so many times in the study through the week, I said, I look at it and I say, you know, after about 2 or 3 days of studying on a difficult passage, and I say, Lord, I don't know what to say about this. I don't know where I'm going. I've been through 35 outlines. They all are terrible. They're not getting the truth, and it's not coming. And finally, after all that effort, a bell goes off in my head, and I say, wait a minute, I've left the Lord out of this process. And I have to say, stop for a minute and say, Lord, you're going to have to show me something here. You're going to have to direct me. And I don't know how many times that's happened over the years, that within a short period of time, it just all comes together. Teaching, understanding truth in a practical way, being able to communicate it in a way that people can get a hold of and apply to their lives, that's a difficult task. The one that we have to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to have success in that. The task is great, but the challenges are many. That's reason number two. Why the preacher's job is one that is very serious, very important, but also difficult. Not only is the task that we as preachers are called to accomplish great, but the challenges are many. Let's look again at our text now in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, I'm not going to say much about these two verses, but I want you to back up and look at the very first part of the verse. For the time will come. Every verb in verses 3 and 4 are future tense verbs. It had not come in completion, at least, when Paul wrote this. The word translated time here is a particular word in the Greek language which means an epoch of time, an expanse of time, a period of time. It's not talking about a few days, a few months. It's not even talking about a few years. It's talking about an epoch, a good number of years. He says the time will come when people will turn away from the Word of God. They'll turn away from the truth, and they'll have itching ears. They'll want preachers to preach what they want to hear, how they want to hear it, in the way they want to hear it, and they will not hear anything but. And so they will accumulate those who will spread that falsehood and bow down to their teaching. There is a time that will come, says Paul. I don't give too many opinions in my preaching. I like to stick with the truth. But here's an opinion, okay, for what it's worth. The time has come. It is that time. All you have to do is look around. All you have to do is listen. People do not want to be told that sin is sin. People do not want to be told there is a Savior they must receive. People do not want to be told that they need to submit their will to the Lord. People want to do and think and believe what they want to think and believe. And so they twist God's word, and they reject God's word, and they stand in pulpits, and they pretend to preach God's word, but they preach their own word. They preach fables. We're living in such a day. That's why it's so all important that your pastor preach the word. Your pastor may have a lot of faults. I'm sure he does because he's human. And I'm sure he does because I have a lot of faults. We all understand that. We are all sinners. We fall short of God's glory constantly. But it doesn't matter what his weaknesses may be, what his faults may be. The thing that really, truly matters more than anything else to you as a church is this: does he preach the word or not? Period. Everything else can be something you can get along with, something you can deal with. But a failure to preach God's word cannot be overcome. And I guarantee you that Andy is dedicated to the truth of God's word. He will preach God's word to you. I thank God for that. The challenges are many. Desertions, you see, are going to happen. People are going to turn away from the truth. People are going to leave your church, Andy. If I had all the people who had left my churches over the years staying in my churches, we would never have room for them all. But there's a lot of people that will come in, and for a little while, they'll be happy until they hear something they don't like. Then they'll go away. It's happened so often, it's happened so many times to me, I can see it happening before it happens. Just recently we had some folks that left our church, and before it ever happened, I told my family members, I said, this is what's going to happen. Sure enough, exactly what happened. Desertions will take place. Those are what we would call, a desertion is what we call an external challenge. And then opposition will come also. Down in verse 5, but be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of evangelists. When he says, be watchful, he's talking about the fact that there's people out there, there's opposition out there in the world. We are opposed by a powerful enemy. Satan is the enemy. And whether we realize it or not, and we often do not, he is behind the attacks, he's behind the problems that come our way and the challenges that we face. So we need to be watchful. Afflictions will arise. He says, endure afflictions in verse 5. Those afflictions may be of the world, it may be of the devil's doing, but it may just simply be God's trials. James 1, verses 2 to 4 teaches us that God brings trials into our life to mature us and strengthen us and cause us to be dependent upon Him. A pastor will face as many trials as you and the congregation will face. We all have trials. The trials may be different. Trials may be of one sort or the other. But God's going to allow enough problems into our life that we remain dependent upon Him and that we develop endurance. Then there are internal challenges. We need to endure those afflictions. He says, endure afflictions. We've got to develop the tenacity and the dedication to stand strong when everything's not so good in life. Because everything will at some times seem to be falling apart. And when they're falling apart, we need to be able to stand up, endure, and go on and preach the Word of God. Then there is the work that God's called us to do. Now notice here he says, do the work of an evangelist. Now the reason Paul said that to Timothy was because Timothy was an evangelist. Timothy wasn't a pastor. I know they are called the pastoral epistles, but Timothy was an associate of Paul who moved from place to place, much like a missionary or something like that. And the proper word in the Bible, biblically, for that back in those days was evangelist, someone who went from place to place and preached the gospel to those who hadn't heard. Timothy was an evangelist. He ordained elders in every place he went to be the pastors, but he was an evangelist. So Paul says, do the work of an evangelist because Timothy was an evangelist. He's not saying that a pastor is to be an evangelist. Now, we're all to be evangelists in the sense that we are called to preach the Word of God and to be witnesses to everybody. But the pastor's job is different than an evangelist's job. But it was Timothy he wrote to as he wrote this inspired message. And so it is the preaching job, it is the gift of teaching that God's instilled in Andy, and I'm convinced it is there because I've seen it manifest itself, and I was there when Andy preached, I guess, your first message. And believe me, he's come a long ways, as everybody does from that first time until you've had, Andy actually achieved a very elite status in our church. He'd say, I got some sermons ready. I said, okay, I'll put it on the calendar. And I say, anytime you have a sermon ready, you come and tell me. I'm not going to come and ask you. When God's given you a message, you come and tell me. I'll let you preach it. Now, it might have been Sunday evenings. It might have been Sunday morning. It may be when I was on vacation, whatever. But I'd get it on the schedule. Because I knew he was growing in his ability, and he needed that opportunity to preach the Word. Well, That's your calling. It'll never change. That's the main thing. The people in your church, you may want you to do a dozen other things. And when you can do those things. And, you know, when it comes to visiting the sick and counseling people, those are part of the pastor's job. But think about it. It's also part of your job. We're all to do those things. But the unique part of his job is the preaching of the word. So you've got to guard that, first of all and foremost. And then finish it. Look what he says in verse 5. Be you watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That means complete it. That means that 85% of your life, from the time you were called to preach to the time you die, if only 85% of that was given to doing what God's called you to do as best you can, as God has given you opportunity, you fail. You haven't finished. What good is it to run a marathon if you check out at 25 miles? You say, but 25 miles is pretty good. Yeah, but you didn't finish. No one's going to give you a trophy for running a 25-mile marathon. And God will give rewards to those who finish the job as best they can, as they have ability, strength, health, and opportunity. You are a preacher by calling that will never, ever change. And I hate to say it, but the truth of the matter is, not a lot of Christians finish really well. Not a lot of preachers finish the calling as they should. Finish the job. You know, many years ago, the Lord stood on the shores of Galilee. Peter had denied him three times, and Peter was cooking some fish and called him from the boats to come in and have a bite to eat. And Peter recognized it was the Lord, jumped out of the boat. This is John chapter 21. He swam ashore. He ate with the Lord. And finally, in the midst of that, as the others who had, by the way, Peter had not only was a leader of men in the ministry, but he was a leader of men away from the ministry at that point. They were all fishermen with him. They came, and finally the Lord looked at him and he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said this. He said, feed my lambs. He asked Peter a second time, do you love me? Peter said he did. Jesus said, tend my sheep. The third time he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, you know that I love you, Lord. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. So Andy, the question this morning is this, do you love the Lord? Yes, you do. Feed the lambs. Do you love the Lord, Andy? Tend the sheep. Do you love the Lord, Andy? Feed the sheep. He didn't say run the carpet, run the vacuum in the auditorium and clean up. Although, you know, if the custodian gets sick, you might do that. You might choose to do that. It'd be a good thing for a servant to do. But that's not what he called you to do. He didn't call you to get the bulletin printed up or a lot of other things. And I think a pastor should always be ready and willing to jump in and do anything. But the thing about it is, Jesus didn't say anything but feed the sheep. Now, let's turn it around for a minute. Calvary Baptist Church, do you love the Lord? I think you do. I see some head shaking. I'll expect an amen the next time, okay? Calvary Baptist Church, do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Calvary Baptist Church, third time, do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Wait a minute. What's your job? His job is to feed the sheep. What's your job? Is to be fed? To be fed, absorb the truth, grow in the Lord, and follow your shepherd. That's what it's all about. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege to speak for a few moments. We thank you for Andy, for his life, for his calling. Bless him and Gina and Anna, Lord. We pray for your blessing on this congregation. Lord, pour out your blessing on them and, Father, meet their needs and help them to grow in the Lord. Day by day, month by month, and year by year. Bless Andy's ministry here, Father. Use him for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.